This is Mishmash, a weekly conversation where we try to unjumble an important and sometimes under-the-radar statewide story that affects you. I'm Shayna Roth. The Mackinac Policy Conference was underway this week, a chance for a lot of Michigan political and policy influencers to gather. It's also a time when reporters get more access to these types of people than normal. Here with me to break down some of what he's been seeing on the island is my old co-host and current audio coordinating producer for Automotive News, Jake Neer. Jake, welcome back to Mishmash.
Shayna, every time I join again, it feels like good old times, but this especially brings me back. Reporting from the Mackinac Policy Conference on Mishmash is wonderful.
Absolutely, because you've been there quite a few times for WDET. So let's start with the big picture then. What's the vibe at the conference this year, and what are some of the big topics that people have been talking about?
Well, you know, I think that this is the first time post-pandemic, or after the worst of the pandemic, I think I should say, that the conference has felt really back to normal. You know, the last couple of years, it's been a little pared down. We missed a year. There was, a lot of scheduling changes to the conference over that time. But this is the first time it really feels like everyone's here. Everyone is sort of pushing in the same direction. Members of Congress are not here because of the debt limit vote in Washington. So that changed people's plans quite a bit up here on Mackinac. But, I think the biggest things that people are talking about are what are often talked about on Mackinac, and the governor is really highlighting one of those, which is Michigan's population, you know, the feeling that we've got to grow or else we're in some serious trouble.
Let's dig into a couple of those topics a little bit more. One of the things you mentioned was the population decline. The governor announced the formation of a commission to study and address Michigan's increased population loss. Talk to us a little bit more about how people have been responding to that.
Well, I think this is just sort of a no-brainer. It has to happen somehow, whether it's through immigration or attracting people just through more jobs. But, you know, the other thing is that this is not new. You know, we've been talking about this problem for a very long time. Someone said on stage today at the conference, we can't keep coming back to Mackinac once a year having the same conversations over and over again. We actually have to do something about it. So, you know, this is one step, I guess, toward that. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But something like, growing a whole state's population is obviously multi-pronged over a number of years. So it's going to be a long time before we can really evaluate how successful something like this is.
Speaking of Governor Gretchen Whitmer, you got to sit down with her and talk a few things, a lot of it automotive. What were some of the things that you and the governor focused on in your discussion?
Well, one of the big things is, for one thing, just what is her strategy to keep luring investments from the automakers and their suppliers as so much money is flowing into these kinds of investments after the Inflation Reduction Act. You and I have talked on Mishmash a couple times about just how much government support there is now for EVs, for electrification, for infrastructure, this electrification revolution that's happening. She says Michigan's already attracted a lot of that money. In fact, I believe tied for first place according to the state's own numbers of all the states that are getting dollars. But there's a lot ahead to keep that momentum going. One of the things I wanted to ask her was about the deals that the state has made with Chinese battery makers like Gotion and CATL. These are companies that are investing in Michigan, but they also have ties to the Chinese Communist Party, according to critics. And she's been getting some backlash. So here's what she had to tell me about that.
These are important projects as we think about our homeland security. Now is not the time to say, let's continue to rely on them. Let's start onshoring this work here.
So yeah, it's been just a lot about automotive and a lot about EVs and that transition here at the Mackinac Policy Conference. And I think that that's going to be a topic that we hear a lot about for many years to come, especially in the next 5 to 10 or so.
Can you talk to us a little bit more about the Chinese batteries that you mentioned?
Absolutely. So there are massive companies that are coming out of China that are very much involved in making batteries and other things that are required to get more EVs on the road. Goshen has a huge investment in West Michigan, a new plant that it is building, and they got a lot of taxpayer support for that project. So they are, again, according to critics of the company, they worry about that company's ties to the Chinese Communist Party. It is a Chinese based company. CATL is working with Ford. They are also a Chinese company. They're going to be providing Ford with batteries. And a big question that we're asking at Automotive News during this conference and outside of it as well is, you know, with all of the requirements in the Inflation Reduction Act to make sure that not only are the EVs assembled in North America to get these consumer tax credits, the $7,500 that's available for EVs that are made in the U.S. and sourced from the U.S. and North America and trade partners, there's also CATL, which is another battery manufacturer that's based in China that is now working with Ford on some new investments in the United States and is going to be supplying batteries to Ford. One big question that we're asking at Automotive News is, you know, are those batteries going to cause problems for Ford's EVs getting the $7,500 tax credit that they really, really want to get? Because under the Inflation Reduction Act, it's not just whether the EV itself is assembled in the United States. The materials for the batteries and other parts need to be sourced from North America or our allies, our trade allies. So will CATL, you know, make that difficult for Ford's products as a Chinese company, even though they are here investing in the United States? And could those requirements change in the future? Let's say if Joe Biden doesn't become president or isn't reelected president, and there's someone who is, the EVs have sort of entered the culture war conversation. So that is a big question mark. What if we have a president in a couple of years who is sort of anti-EV? What does that mean? So the rules could change. There's a lot up in the air. These companies are some of the biggest in the world doing what they do. And it's going to be tough to not work with them if we want to move as quickly as possible on EV adoption. But there are those ties that are causing quite a stir.
There were quite a number of guest speakers on the island this week, one of which was Liz Cheney, former member of Congress. What did Liz Cheney have to say?
She was asked a lot about, you know, whether she would run again, and especially as an independent and instead of a Republican. And she didn't bite on those questions, which is not super surprising. But she talked a whole lot about the bigger issues of we need to combat extremism in the United States in our politics. And obviously she's been very vocal about that for a very long time. I will say Fred Upton's name came up a few times in that conversation as someone else who is sort of like-minded, who could also possibly run as an independent. Run for what? That's sort of up in the air. But I think maybe the implication is maybe for the presidency or even for a congressional seat. So these are questions that this crowd here at the Mackinac Policy Conference is very interested in. A lot of people here have been Republicans their whole lives, but have not been especially fond of the Donald Trump era of the Republican Party, if you will. So people like Fred Upton, people like Liz Cheney, they get pretty big responses with crowds like this. And I have a feeling that there's going to be lots of chatter going forward. But if I understand Liz Cheney's message correctly, my feeling is, she wants to lead a conversation before anything else about sort of the dangers of far-right extremism.
Has there been any discussion, particularly with Cheney, about what role Michigan is going to play in the upcoming election and its importance?
I mean, there's just no question that Michigan is going to play a major role. I mean, you know, this... we are a state that is going back and forth all the time between Republicans and Democrats, although with the previous couple of elections, obviously here at the state level, now with Democrats controlling both chambers of the state legislature and, you know, with a trifecta of, you know, control in the executive offices as well. I think that there's a lot of question marks in this next election as to whether or not this is a, you know, an off-year trend, or is this something permanent? Is Michigan going to move farther and farther away from Donald Trump's Republican Party? And, you know, Liz Cheney is certainly someone who embodies a lot of the frustrations that exist among people that are like-minded. I think there are a growing number of them in key areas of Michigan right now based on the last couple of elections. But, of course, we will see. You know, voters tend to like to surprise us sometimes, Shayna. So we'll see what happens.
Who were some of the other big speakers that you heard from?
Well, one of course, that I was following very closely was Bill Ford Jr., the chairman of Ford Motor Company and, of course, a member of the Ford family. He had a lot to say about the state of the auto industry, electrification, and Ford's work. And one thing that really caught my attention was he was really bemoaning the how his products, that Ford's products are being used in political conversations right now. He said, not in a million years would we have ever thought that our products would be in the middle of the culture wars, but here we are. You know, somehow EVs have become political, electrification has become political. It's like, what isn't political at this point, right? I mean, I guess every business owner kind of has to get ready for that. I mean, and also just, He's all in on this, you know, although Ford's combustion engine business is what's driving the profits and their EV business right now is losing quite a bit of money. It's not profitable yet. It's not really profitable for anyone but Tesla. The future is electric, according to these executives. They are all in on this. There's really no going back. So, you know, that they've made up their minds, and Bill Ford certainly underscored that.
Jake, any other big takeaways from your time on the island?
Other than the fact that I'm exhausted and ready to take a nap, you know, I would just say that the mood here on Mackinac Island is overwhelmingly positive this year. It's definitely a group of folks at the conference who are, you know, in some ways cheerleading Michigan's economy and hoping to, you know, really pat themselves on the back in some cases and pat each other on the back. And, you know, but I do think that this is such a strange microcosm right now, and sort of a bubble, actually, I should say, instead of a microcosm. You know, when the lawmakers return to Lansing, when, you know, the political season is in full swing, you know, the questions are going to stay difficult from reporters, and they're going to have to answer more difficult questions about what's actually happening to, you know, boost Michigan's population and our economy. More specifics, I hope we hear in the next coming weeks about what the actual plans are, because things have been a little light on specifics here on the island this year. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I'm anticipating looking forward is, you know, it's well and good to talk about some of the great things happening here in Michigan. We should be, you know, excited about some of these things. But, you know, if we don't know what the actual roadmap is, there's going to be no way to hold these folks accountable. So really hope that we hear more answers on those.
Jake Neer is the audio coordinating producer for Automotive News. And of course, my old co-host here on Mishmash. Jake, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you back.
Thanks, Shayna. I'll come back anytime.
Mishmash is produced by WDET, Detroit's NPR station. This episode was produced by myself, Shayna Roth, and Hearns Laguerre Jr. Our news director is Jerome Vaughn, and our podcast manager is David Lyons. Our digital team is Dave Kim and Sophia Joswiak, with additional help from Jack Philbrand. As always, if you listen to this podcast and you want to support it, you can do so by leaving us a review, or if you really, really like this podcast, and we truly, deeply hope that you do, you can support WDET. Just go to WDET.org/give. Without your support, honestly, this show and many of the other great programs from WDET just would not be possible. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.